Today on Real Life Radio.
The Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures. And so this is why 2,000 years ago, Jesus held Israel accountable to know the prophetic Bible. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't say this to scare you. I say this to prepare you. God expects you and I right now to know the prophetic doctrines of the Bible. There's no excuse.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over a million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series called Futures with a message titled After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why it matters to our lives today. You see, the authority of the Bible is unequaled. It's the revelation of the will of God, perfectly harmonized to promote one individual, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with absolute accuracy and without error. Today, Pastor Jack teaches that we're not called to defend the Bible. Its perfection, quite frankly, defends itself, including the biblical writings regarding Jesus and end times prophecy. Now, with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're reading through verses 1 to 12. We're looking at this message. It's an ongoing, I say ongoing, we covered it, or I should say started it last week. We'll be in it today as well in our future series. And that is After the Saints Go Marching In. And I am deliberately, as you know, building upon each week regarding what the Bible says concerning eschatology or the future doctrines or future events of the Bible. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you would continue to stir our hearts to the truth. Lord, I know that traditionally we're in a building right now. We're glad for that. It's warm in here. We're glad for that. Everything looks kind of church normal-like. And I guess in some degree we're glad for that. But Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would actually possess this gathering, that you'd possess us, that there would be nothing predictable or traditional about our gathering today, but it would be an assemblage of your people, the church in the 21st century, and God, that each and every one of us are here because we have determined not to play church. We have determined not to pretend. We have determined not to do what you're supposed to do on Sundays. But God, we have come here today starving, as it were, to hear your Spirit speak to us. And Lord, we pray that you would energize us. God, that we would leave this building today transformed people. May this not be just another Sunday. But Lord, as the days lessen and we get closer to your return, may this day be a day that we can look back and say that the Lord was in this place. So Father God, move, we pray, move in our hearts, move in our midst. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, before you sit down, can you hold up your Bible, even if it's on your smart device, hold it up, okay? That is an awesome sight. I want you to carefully bring it down, gently. You can be seated. Don't cut yourself with it. By that, let me say, the Word of God, the Bible says, is living and powerful. It's just not some book you just held up a moment ago. It's living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division and the soul of the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. There is no creature hidden from its sight, from his sight. He is the word. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Bible. The Bible you just held up a moment ago. It looks like a book. But according to the Bible itself, that it has the ability to dive into the very thoughts and the motives of your heart and mind, and it's able to dissect you, dissect me. God's incredible truth, awesome truth. And as we are looking at these prophetic themes of the Bible, we need to remember that to qualify the accuracy or the authority of the Bible, God has not left us on our own. Church family, listen up. You and I have never been called to defend the Bible. Did you know that? By the way, we're not even called to defend our God. There are a lot of religions out there that they have to defend their God. If you say something about their God, they're going to cut your head off. If you say something about their book, they're going to burn down your country. If you say something about, do you get the drift? The Bible doesn't call Christians to do any of that. You want to know why? He doesn't need our help. He is God. This is his word. It's unfailing. It's true. It's perfect. And God is God with or without us. We don't make him up and then follow him. No, the fact is he has always been, and he's invited us to follow him. And how do we know that in a day-to-day life in which you and I live in? Well, the standalone authority of the Bible is truly unequaled in all of the world's writings and sacred writ. What is awesome about the Bible is that the Bible in black and white challenges you to know if it's true or not, to discover, to put it to the test, for you to decide. As Christians, we're just to present it. So you take out the word of God and you don't have to prop it up. You take out the word of God. You held it up a moment ago and you let it go. You let it go through witness, through preaching, through teaching God's word. It's amazing. The book of Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before, that is beforehand, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. That is, God's writing of future events written down of old is to bring you and I comfort and hope. How does that work? 66 books make up the Bible, penned by 40 different authors over a 1,600-year period of time on several different continents, most of the authors having never met one another, all spoke about one key individual. And that revelation, by the way, this is pretty awesome. You can take any one of the 66 books and they stand alone one by one on presenting characteristics and attributes about the Messiah. His name, what he would do, where he would be born, how he would die, how he would live again. It's all written down in the Old Testament scriptures. It's remarkable. And of course, confirmed in the new. There's this perfect harmony that the Bible has from Genesis to Revelation about God's authority revealed in his word. Shouldn't surprise us. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what the Bible says about itself. Isn't that awesome? Boy, that's the problem, Pastor. That's what the Bible says about itself. What's your problem with that? It would carry no value if I said it. It would carry no value if Billy Graham or the Pope said it. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, don't listen to a word I say, didn't he? Acts 17:11. Write that down. It's not in your notes. It just popped into my head right there. Acts 17:11, Paul said, You search the scriptures and see if what I'm telling you is true. Judge, Paul is saying, my sermons, judge my doctrine, judge my teaching against the Bible. So when the Bible says of itself, it is the inspired word of God, it's like begging you to come and take it on. Test and see, and you can do that. This is one of the tips on how you can do that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16 says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received, or for he received from God the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. You'll know what that is in a moment. He quotes, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember when that happened? Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration alone with Jesus, Mount Hermon in Israel today. And the Bible tells us that the Lord descended and showed his son Jesus through Moses and Elijah how Christ would die and to encourage or strengthen him in that. And that's when Peter, it's awesome, Peter looks up, James and John, they look up and they see Jesus glowing bright white as Moses and Elijah spoke to him. And the Bible says, and Peter answered and said, which is fantastic because nobody asked Peter a thing. He wasn't even involved in it. But this is Peter, that's why we love him. Peter answered and said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tents, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses and Elijah. It's a very cute response by Peter, but it was completely out of context. He saw the excellent glory when Christ was transfigured. And that statement there in 2 Peter goes on. Verse 18 says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven, where we're with him on the holy mountain. And so verse 19 says, we have the prophetic word confirmed. Verse 20, knowing this, that no prophecy of scripture, no revelation of the Bible, that Bible you held up a moment ago. Listen, there's no giving of it that is of private interpretation. This is awesome. That's why every cult, before they knock on your door, has failed. Because they have taken the revealed word of God and they go about to contradict what God has revealed to you. God has spoken the truth. And you can study it and research it. It's of no private interpretations. What does that mean today when people say something like this? Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I see it this way. Private interpretation. Well, I know the Bible says this, but I feel. Private interpretation. I know the Bible says this, but I was listening to a pastor or a guy on the radio or some speaker, and he said what it really means is private interpretation. Can't do that. Bible is to interpret Bible. It's up to us to agree with it. Verse 21 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved. That Greek word means wrapped in wind, or it means to be wind-driven or borne aloft. I love that, to be borne aloft. The wind picked them up and carried them. Now, the wind didn't pick them up and carry them. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrapped them up and revealed to them the word of God. It wasn't on their own strength. It wasn't on their own power. God revealed the Bible. And there the scripture says that it was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures. And so this is why 2,000 years ago, Jesus held Israel accountable to know the prophetic Bible. And listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't say this to scare you, I say this to prepare you. God expects you and I right now to know the prophetic doctrines of the Bible. There's no excuse.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, it's Palm Sunday morning. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is riding on the back of the donkey fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And as he rides into Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives is to his back. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Now, this is his first coming now. Remember, he's coming to be received as king for that week prior to his crucifixion. "The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Isn't it interesting that Jesus just said right then and there that he's the one throughout all of Israel's existence who had sent the prophets to them, the eternal Son of God. "I sent the prophets to you." Jesus says, "But you are not willing. You weren't interested." Verse 38, "See or behold, your house has left you desolate." Jesus motions to the temple. "So I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say," now this is the second coming, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The next time Jesus comes back in the second coming, Israel will be shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Did you know that? And in between those comings, the first coming and the second coming, is you. Us, the church age. And we are nearing the end, by the way. It's been 2,000 years as we approach now the end of the church age. And we studied last time together regarding some of those aspects. But as we look at this message, after the saints go marching in, this is what we remember. It's this. We learn that there is left behind a world in free fall. That when the church is raptured out of this world to meet Christ, again, look at our first study later, the world is left into a condition where the Holy Spirit, friends, you read it a moment ago, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave the earth. The Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. Right now, the Holy Spirit is working in the earth through the church and every believer to stand against evil. By the way, I need to ask myself, as the Holy Spirit possesses my life, am I a Christian standing against evil? The Holy Spirit resists evil in this world at this time through the believers. It's not our strength, it's his strength. It's not our presence, it's his presence. But when the church is deposited into the arms of Jesus at the rapture, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave the earth. The Holy Spirit stands aside, or he gets out of the way. He's removed out of the way. He doesn't leave, he steps aside. And when that happens, evil is gonna go breakneck crazy. In a post-rapture world, that's what we learned. We learned about a post-rapture world. We learned that also that there is left behind this great cry by the world for peace and safety. Read about that. We read about Daniel's prophecy, chapter 8, verse 25, where the one that is coming, called the Antichrist, will deceive the world and answer their cry for peace and prosperity with his policies to bring peace to the Middle East and to sign a seven-year contract with the nation of Israel and its surrounding neighbors, the Bible says. And then thirdly, this is where we left off church last time. Thirdly, there's going to be left behind a global economic, remember I used this word, reset. And we ended the message by using the word reset and telling you to come on back. We'll study more about it. And here we are today. And here's the deal. So many of us have been conditioned to think that reset is a modern day term. It's a cool global word now. Reset, reset. Everybody's talking about reset. We need to reset politics. We need to reset the economy. We need to go back and reset. We need to reset the company. That's an ancient word. People think it's fairly new. No, it's not fairly new. It's ancient. There's going to be a global reset. And some of these things, church, because I intentionally got ahead of myself last week to answer up, to bundle up or tie up the end, some of these things you'll recognize from last week. A global economic reset, according to the Bible, has to come just after the rapture of the church. Did you hear me? Okay, I need you to participate. You want to just sit down for, you want to just wait? We'll get some coffee. Get an IV drip of coffee there going. This is very important because listen, if you're not a real true believer in Jesus Christ, this could cost you your life forever and ever if you miss this. At some moment, there's going to be an instantaneous vanishing of the Christian. And in that, yes, yeah. And in that, there you are. In that moment, it may not be detected instantly, but after the rapture happens, what may not be detected instantly, but it certainly opens the floodgates of evil, there's going to be a bizarro manifestation of spiritual deception on the earth. I actually believe that the rapture will be explained away by satanic lies. And the world is going to be plunged headlong into a free fall. First thing I want you to see is a few slides here. The first slide, you guys, I want you to take a look at this. The Great Reset. I didn't make this up. We didn't make this, by the way. This is from the World Economic Forum. There's an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. I could go on forever right now to show you and talk to you about how important it is to the World Economic Forum to keep the COVID-19 issue alive as long as they can milk it. They need it. And if it dies, they're going to find another one. I promise you this. I hate to blow your mind so early in the morning, but there will never be the normal that you used to know. These guys and a host of others will not allow it. How can you say that? Because the Bible says there's a coming economic reset. And when the world tells us they are working on a global economic reset, no wonder why I had you hold up your Bible. And so, taking place in the context of the United Nations General Assembly, farce, the World Economic Forum's fourth and, for the first time, fully virtual, sustainable, and it goes on to talk about how we bring the world together as one economically to press reset, making nations equal. Think of it. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Listen. It sounds great. It sounds great. Listen, let's be honest. Socialism works perfect if everybody in it is perfect. That's why it's never worked.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2. So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scripture from the Bible and what it means for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com.
Hey, would you like a resource that shows you how God Himself can nourish your soul? Not with just mere words, but by truly living in His presence. Discover how our current featured resource called The Pursuit of God by the famous Christian author A.W. Tozer can transform your way of thinking about God. And we've made it available for a gift of any amount on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.